Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Here we see Moses and Joshua coming down from the mount. And they heard some noises. They didn't really hear any words. They heard some noises. And by the by virtue of being able to hear the noise or the sound, they were able to kind of narrow down what was happening. And so we read about it. Verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There's a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But it's the noise of them that sing, do I hear?" And it came to pass as soon as as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. As they came down to the mount, they heard a noise. By virtue of the noise, they began to, figure out what was going on. They didn't hear any words. Too far away to hear words. But they heard noises. And the noises, process of elimination. It's not someone who won a battle. No. Close, but no, that's not that. It's not the cry of somebody who was overcoming a battle. No, it's the voice of singing. And when they got there, they saw the calf, they saw the dancing. The noise gave it away, something was happening that wasn't good. You know, music is known by its sound. Music industry, the sound tells you if the scene is supposed to be romantic, solemn, mysterious, emotional, tragic. The sound tells you how to interpret whatever's going on. Because the sound is the message. The sound is the message. A couple years ago, David Cloud was exposing the CCM music at West Coast Baptist Bible College. And he had this on his Gmail, on his email. And I took my Bible class into the office. And we listened to about a 10-second blurb of a full-fledged Christian rock band playing this music. And then we flipped on to West Coast and their special music, and took that same segment of the song and played that for about 10 seconds. It was shocking. The sound was the same. The sound was the same. In one place you had the rock musicians with the holy smoke and the tight clothes and modest clothing and the jamming and the lights and the, you know, and the dark and everything, full-fledged, you know, wild. And then you had the other stage was the church there and well-dressed young people. But the sound was the same. Now we're talking about sound. You know, I'm not expert on these things, but, you know, sound. You know, you go to the Muslim world and you hear the eerie sound of the call to prayer. One of the most eerie sounds I've ever heard. It just, every time I hear it, the sound is so eerie. You go into the Far East and you hear the music of the Hindus. And it's the sound of, how would we say that? It's the sound of pantheism. It's an endless sound. It has a sound. You know, the sound describes something. The words don't really mean anything. The sound is the dominant factor. What would you say? Would you say that a lonely sound? Do you think a lonely sound, a music that is known as music with a lonely sound, would be a descriptive of Christian music? Now think about the Bible. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our body is the temple. What? Knowing that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I go to my Father and I will send another comforter, a helper, a helpmeet alongside of you, a Holy Spirit. Is loneliness, would that be a good description? Would that be considered Christian sound? No. No. Now, you need to think about sound. You know, I don't know much about music, but you know, the Russian symphonies and a lot of famous Russian composers. I think I could say it, that most of their music is it right to say they're in minor keys? It reflects Russia. The people of Russia have always been oppressed people. They've been ruled ruthlessly by the czars. Now they're ruled ruthlessly by people in the past, like Stalin and the communists, etc. Their music reflects their heritage. Now, but music has a sound. And music needs to rightly describe Christian thinking. It needs to rightly picture correct Christian thought and spirit. Okay? So, you know what music is known as? Lonely music. That is its title. That is its namesake, so to speak. Bluegrass music. It's labeled as lonely music. A man in the world without God. A man in the world, when I think of lonely, that's what I think. A man in the world without God. Now, country music is a lot like that, lonely music, and bluegrass has taken on certain flavors of country music. Lonely music. Men in the world without God. You know, music is real. It really aptly describes certain things. It isn't an accident. You know, a person might play something accidentally, but that doesn't mean it's an accident. You know, a person is taught to play jazz or pop music. They are taught to use certain chords. Now, some people who just maybe learn music on their own and they just hear, they play these chords. They don't know that they're playing pop chords, but they are. Because pop music has a sound. And it's known by its sound. One time I was in my office, this is many years ago, we had an evangelist here. And he was a little bit into music. And we had a group that was going to practice for the service. And the pianist wasn't here. So this evangelist thought, well, he would help out. And so he was playing the piano for this group. And I was in my office, and what's going on? You know, tried to be nice about it. You know, I went out in the auditorium and says, what's happening here? Oh, we're practicing. I said, play it. Play it. Just play it. Well, it was written correctly, but the pianist was playing, one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Not one, two, three, four, but one, two, three, four. The syncopated beat. I says, you know what? That's rock. He said, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Now, let's go. Talked about the sound. Okay? And we've been talking about God. We've been talking about His holiness. Let's look at a couple of verses quickly, and I'm going to put some of this together. Number one, music is outwardly known by its sound. Number two, music is directed to God, so should be appropriate to the holiness of His person. 1 Corinthians 16:23. Now, if you're a musician and you know all the answers, you can probably say all the reasons why I'm saying it the wrong way, but I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can. And I think that's what's unique about the Levites is the Levites were to be preachers as well as musicians. And that many times makes the difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First, did I say Corinthians? I meant Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. And verse 23, we looked at this verse last week. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Think of the angels in heaven saying, holy, holy, holy Their words are directed toward God. They are appropriate to God. Music is directed to God and should be appropriate to the holiness of His person. Even in this passage of Scripture, verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Think of Exodus 15:11. The Lord is glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we talk about the beauty of holiness, it's something that is appropriate to His holiness. It is comely to His person. It is becoming of His person. The beauty of holiness. Okay? Now, I want to take a couple minutes here and talk about, as an unexpert, I want to talk to you about the dangers of bluegrass music. Bluegrass music is dangerous because it appeals to the flesh. Remember the first time we heard of a Christian group putting together bluegrass music? And my wife said, that's wrong. I listened to bluegrass music before I was saved, and that appealed to the flesh. Maybe she said a little differently than that, but that's what she said. It appeals to the flesh. Number two, bluegrass music is dangerous because it brings an entertainment form, not a worshipful music, into the church. It brings an entertainment form of music, not a worship form of music, into the church. Number three, it has the lonely sound in its music, which is an unbiblical sound. It's the sound of the world. Number four is dangerous because it paves the way for other lower forms of music. It paves the way for other lower forms of music. There's many fundamentalists who were shocked. Was it 2 years ago? Inadvertently, Northland put on YouTube a rock band playing in their cafeteria of their students. 2 weeks previous to that, Matt Olson, president of Northland, has said, our music has not changed. Maybe it was 3 weeks before that, but I mean, it's very close to that. And people said, oh, terrible. Probably 20 years before that, there's a youth pastor in New York State, brought his youth group to Northland Camp. And Steve Pettit was camp director. And he introduced bluegrass music as fun music to Northland. And this youth group arrived, and the youth pastor arrived with his youth group. And they got to the camp, and they heard this music. And the youth pastor said, we're out of here. This is music I was in before I was saved. And now you're using it in Christian camp? I'm gone. But you know, here's the pattern. You go from fun music, bluegrass, to the Steve Pettit team, early as 1990, introducing worship teams. And gradually, you get to well-known evangelists that introduced bluegrass to fundamentalism. Also has his Celtic concerts. And the people in Ireland say, Celtic concerts? The Christians in Ireland say, Celtic concerts? That's the music of the Druids. How can we make the music of the Druids the music of Jesus Christ? Bluegrass paves the way for other lower forms of music. One thing leads to the next. I asked someone last week, had any thoughts about the message last week. He says, you know, I'm not really too much concerned about rock music because rock music is rock music. But Pastor, I'm concerned about Christians listening to bluegrass and New Age classical music. And I don't know anything about that, so I can't say much, but I looked it up. New Age classical music is music that emphasizes inspiration, relaxation, and spirituality. In New Age, you are God. And you can just see it fit together. We live in a day that I was thinking of these last two verses, Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Notice it says, before we're saved, we're characterized by our life in the lust or the desires of our flesh and the desires of the mind. In contrast to the new life in Christ. Turn and then think of this verse, for 2 Timothy 4. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Lust, the desires of the flesh. And that is the same word we find over in 2 Peter, same word we find in Jude. And what do we have? We have, really, we have entertainment. Not aimed at God. It's aimed at the flesh. And you know, the flesh likes it. You know, I know enough about me and humankind to know that my flesh would like this. And I have to decide that my spirit is going to rule in my life. And I'm going to identify that which the flesh likes, and I'm going to avoid it. Because the flesh is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. And of course, to mix the flesh and a holy God is unacceptable. It redefines who God is, and it will also just like we mentioned Sunday, we're recognizing that how could the primary attribute of God, holiness, which is the foundational truth, how can that be lost? And yet it is. And the foundational fact of Christianity is who God is. And if the common conception of God and who He is has been lost from holy, holy, holy to love, 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 then this is even a minor issue. If that can be lost, anything can be lost. If that can be lost, then a holy God can easily be worshipped by fleshly music. So these are some important things. We are seeing it take place today firsthand. And we have the sad experience of seeing it take place in history and where it goes. And how dangerous and how powerful it is in the wrong way. Should you be careful what kind of music you listen to in the home? Yep. You know, what you listen to in the home, the lowest form of music that you listen to is your music standard. The lowest form of music you listen to, the music that you will allow yourself to listen to, that is your music standard. And that is why we need to be very careful about our music. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will use these very important truths in our lives to inform the people of God, to be discerning, to be alert, to be concerned, to be wise, to be able to give a reason of the hope that lies within them and be able to stand for what is right. We pray you to use these truths for your glory in Jesus' name.